end of Parshas Bishalach, we have the story of Nochemis Amalek, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu swears that Kiyor al Keisko Melchama Lashem Ba'Amalek Midor Dor. The Rebbeinu Shlom swears that he's always going to wage Melchama against Amalek. It doesn't say that we have to wage Melchama, it says that he's going to wage Melchama. Then when we look at later in Chumash Dvarim, there it says that we have an obligation, we have an obligation to wipe out Amalek. This is different from all other Melchamas. This is the Rebbeinu Shalom's Melchama. We have an obligation to help him out. And other Melchamas, let's say Melchama Zayin Amimim, or Melchama Yisrael Yad Zar, if someone is attacking the Jewish people. So that's our Melchama, and then the Rebbeinu Shalom promises, Hashem Yilachem Lachem. The Rebbeinu Shalom is going to help us out. And the fact is that Rashi in Parshas Devarim, Rashi writes, if the Jewish people would have been Zoche, if they would have acted properly, we wouldn't have had to lift a finger in waging all the wars. The Rebbeinu Shalom would have been literally Hashem Yilachem Lachem Atem Tachrishim. We wouldn't have to do anything. But Melchama Samolek is the opposite. It's not that it's our Melchama and the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to help us out. It's basically his Melchama, Melchama Lashem Ba'Amalek. We have an obligation to help him out. What does it mean, a Muhammad, the Rebbeinu Shalom's Muhammad? So Rav Soloveitchik, in one of his published essays, maybe more than one, quotes a passage from the Zohar that that Amalek is represents evil in the world. And this is considered as if Amalek is considered as if it's the part of the world that was left over from Tohu Vavohu. When the Rebbeinu Shalom first created the world, Varetzai said Tohu Vavohu Choshech Apnei Tohu. Then the Rebbeinu Shalom created everything but the Sora Mamora, so you get the impression from Parshas Bereishis that he removed the whole Tohu Vavohu. Everything was removed. So the Zohar says no, that Amalek, he still left a little bit of Tohu Vavohu. So he didn't finish his job of Bria. The Bria is to remove all of that Tohu Vavohu. So this is his Muhammad. This is the Rebbeinu Shalom has to take care of that. He's the one who did the Bria. We didn't do the Bria, but he commanded us. We have an obligation to help him out in that Muhammad. The pashtus is that the din by Amalek is that it's a melchama. That's how it says melchama l'Hashem Amalek midor dor. It's not a chayves hariga. The Rambam writes. Rambam writes in Hilchas Malachim when he writes all of the Hilchas Malachim and melchama sehem. He writes all the dinim of the melech. How you appoint the melech and who's supposed to be the melech? Malchei Beis David, Malchei Yisrael. All the differences. And then he writes all the dinim of Hilchas Melchama there, because that's Hilchas Melachim and Melchama Sein. That's one of the roles of the Melech, is to keep law and order. Melech ben Mishpat Yam and Eretz, to maintain, to preserve law and order in the land. Perhaps that's the main function. And then another function of the Melech is Lilcha Melchama Sashem. So the Rambam writes all the dinim of Melchama. So he says one of the dinim of Melchama is to fight Zayin Umas. And if one is walking down the street and he sees one of the he's one of the Zainumas, and it's Yesh Biyod Lahargo. He has the ability to kill him, and he doesn't bother to do so. So then the Rambam writes, I raise a bitul mitzvah saseh. He violated the mitzvah. Rambam never says it regarding Amalek. If you're walking down the street and you bump into an Amaleki, and you don't kill him, that you're mevatel the mitzvah. So the Pashta says that it's not the same. Pashta says that by the Zainumas, it's not a chavis mochama. It's a din hachrim tachrimim. It's a chavis hariga. You have to kill him. How can you kill him? They're going to fight back. So the technical way to kill him is we should put together a whole army and we should wage war against the Zainumas. That's a hechitimtza, how to do it. But the Ikorai, it's really a chavis hariga. So that's why the Rambam writes, if you're walking down the block and you bump into one of the Zainumas and you don't kill him, so you're mevatel a mitzvah because the mitzvah is a chavis hariga. But the Rambam never says it by Amalek. The pashtus is because of Chumash. The last pasuk in Mishalach uses the expression, Melchama l'Hashem b'Amalek midorda, it's a chavis melchama. You have to have a whole army sponsored by the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. I can't just have you walking down the street. And I know for sure that this individual is an Amalek. That's why it's very strange. They have in some of the biographies of the Chasam Sofer, they have fact and fiction and agadas all blended in together. So they write a story that on one occasion the Chasam Sofer identified a certain Nochri in his city where he lived as an Amaleki, and he said they should go drown him in the mikveh, they should kill him. What do you mean? Just like this, there was no Mochama. You can't just kill an Amaleki, it's Ritzicha. By Zayin Umas, the Rambam says that. He never says it by Amalek. The Pashtus is that it's not the same. Pashtus is that by Amalek it's only a Chayvus Mocham, it's not a Mitzvah Sariga. This is the Kriyas HaTorah on Purim. The Chachamim instituted we should learn Kriyas HaTorah on Purim. The institution of Kriyas HaTorah, the Gemara says, was originally instituted by Moshe Ubeis Dinoi. Right after Kriyas Yamsuf, so the pasuk says, "Vayasam Moshe Sitzom Yamsuf." The Jews didn't want to leave. They were having such a good time there. Rashi says they were picking up a lot of money. The Bizus Hayam was tremendous. Or others say they were having such a good time. They enjoyed the Gilui Shechina. Says Zeh Kelim Yanveyu. Rashi Shivchal Hayam Asher Roi Cheska Ben Buzid Mevaisim Hakavod. There's a tremendous Gilui Shechina. That's how you can say Zeh Kelim Zeh. What you can be married by Etzba. So they saw some divine light that represented the Shekhinah. So they enjoyed that so much, they didn't want to leave. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to schlep them. I asked them Moshe. Rashi writes his pshat, the others say the other pshat, whatever. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to schlep them, and he saw from Yamsuf, Vayetzol Midbashur, Vayechu Shloshes Yamim, Bamidbar V'loi Motzamoyim. So the Pasha pshat didn't have any water to drink. Right? So the Gemara in Baba Kama later on has a comment, Eimayim Ala Torah. Avlamotz Amoyim is that they almost went 3 days without learning any Torah, and Moshe Beis Dina made the takana. It's a takana, the Rabbanan, even though there's a remez in the Chumash is alluding to it, but according to the Gemara that it was instituted by Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a takana, the Rabbanan. It's more important than other takanas because it's recorded in Kisvei HaKodesh. It has the approval of the Rebbe Shalmaila. Rebbe Shalmaila approves of it, but it's still only a takana, the Rabbanan. So this, the Gemara says, is alluding to the Takana de Rabbanan of Kriyas HaTorah. So the Gemara says, but we have a tradition that Ezra was Misakim Kriyas HaTorah. So what do you mean, Moshe Beis Dina? This centuries before. So the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu made part of the Takana, Shelo Yochel Shloshes Yamim Belo Torah, and later Ezra added on a little bit. So what exactly was added on? So the Gemara says, maybe there was only one Aliyah in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Ezra made a Takana, there should be three Aliyahs. Or maybe the days of Moshe Rabbeinu is enough with each person only gets one pasuk, and Ezra added on each person gets three psukim, sacha called 10 psukim. So the Ma'aseh said that's how we have now. Right? Each aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, and the sacha kol of the whole Kriyas HaTorah has to have a minimum of 10 psukim. So Tosis raises the issue, what about on Purim? On Purim, he starts by Yavoy Amalek by Yilach Memisol Berefidim, it's pasuk Ches. Ches test you till the end is only 9 psukim. Kyod al kes ko etc. is only 9 psukim. So what do you do with the Kriyas HaTorah? So Tosis says that they used to lean over the last pasuk. That's not our practice. We don't lean over the last pasuk. So Tosis quotes the Yerushalmi. Tosis says that the answer is that if it's shalim and yono, if the whole topic is finished and less than 10 psukim, then you don't need a 10 psukim. So it seems, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, it would seem from that 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 seems to explain what the nature of the din of 10 psukim is. What's the nature of the din that every aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim? What's the nature of the din that the whole Kriyas HaTorah, Sach HaKol, and Sheni Machamishi has to have a minimum of 10? It should have been enough with 9. If you only give 3 aliyahs, in each aliyah is 3 psukim, so 3 times 3 is 9. So why do you need a 10th pasuk? So Rav Soloveitchik said, I remember at the time that he said it, I thought it was a joke. I thought he's making up things. Then I found the Balei HaTosis say it on Chumash by Paru with the Chaloimis, they pointed out. So he said, sometimes you have 2 psukim in Chumash and you don't even scratch the surface. You don't even know what you're talking about. Doesn't say anything. Sometimes you have 2 psukim, one next to the other. It doesn't even say what the topic is. So by the time you're going to read the third pasuk, at least you will have begun the topic. So the Chachamim insisted that every aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim. At least you should begin. You're going to have an aliyah. One pasuk, you didn't even begin to. Vidavah Shem Moshe Leima? Didn't say anything. You didn't even begin to hear what the topic is. You're going to have 3 psukim, so you'll always have the Hascholas HaTopic. And if you have 10 psukim, sometimes in that psukim you didn't finish. Yeah, 10 psukim, it'll be shalim, it will have already completed a topic. Sometimes you have a parsha chves paraduma, it's very long, you have way more than 10 psukim, but at least if you have read 10 psukim into it, so you have completed a chunk of the topic. You didn't leave off in the middle of everything, at least you finished one aspect of the topic. So that's why Tosis says that if it's shalim in yonah, If you have 9 psukim by the story of Amalek, and that's the whole Sach HaKol, that's the whole story. So then there's no need to have 10 psukim. The whole need for 10 psukim is that you should accomplish Shalem in Yonah. But if it's Shalem in Yonah and 9 psukim, then it's good enough. So I thought that was the Rav Schap, that the 3 psukim, it's not Shaychish, I have 3 psukim Ritzufim without a Haskalah. I saw the Bali HaTais Nachumish have that. They keep on publishing more and more Kisvayat from Bali HaTais. So one of them points that out. By Paru with the Chaloimis, when Yosef comes to interpret, so the Bali HaTais point out, you never have 3 psukim in a row without having a Dova Chodosh. There's always going to be some Dova Chodosh over there. So the Lamai said, that's our practice. We don't lane over the last pasuk over again. We assume that if it's Shalom and Yonah, it's good enough. There is a big question regarding the nature of this Takana de Rabbanon. It's not a Din Deraisa, the Takana de Rabbanon of Kriyas HaTorah, whether this is a Chavis HaYochad or a Chavis HaTzibur. Rav Soloveitchik used to tell us that his grandfather, Rav Chaim, held that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chavis HaYochad. So he said sometimes he would be traveling by train to go to a meeting of Rabbanim, so he would miss Kriyas HaTorah and miss davening in the morning. He was traveling on the train and miss davening, who would miss Kriyas HaTorah. So he would always make a point of getting off in the afternoon, stopping off in some village and asking around to find out if there were another 9 people who missed Kriyas HaTorah. And then he would always put together a minion to learn Kriyas HaTorah. He felt that the Takonis Kriyas HaTorah and Sheni Vachamishi doesn't necessarily have to be in the morning right after Shachris, even if it's in the afternoon. You could also learn Kriyas HaTorah. Most of the Achronim say like that. Some disagree. Most of the Achronim say like that. On Shabbos, Rav Soloveitchik thought you can dingzach, because on Shabbos there's a separate Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos afternoon. Shabbos morning you have Kriyas HaTorah with 7 aliyahs, with a Haftorah. Shabbos afternoon is a separate Takonis Kriyas HaTorah. Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe on Shabbos you cannot lay in the Kriyas HaTorah in the morning. Let's say there was a snowstorm in the morning or there was a hurricane and no one went to shul in the morning. So then you want to know, can you gather together in the afternoon and make a minyan on Shabbos afternoon? So Rav Soloveitchik thought maybe not. The Achronim over this, a lot of Achronim say yes, that if you miss Kriyas HaTorah in the morning, so you can put together a minyan Shabbos afternoon all day long. A lot of Achronim say Sheni V'Chamishi you have to lay in the morning, but Shabbos all day long and Shabbos you can lay in the afternoon also. So Rav Soloveitchik thought the reverse. Maybe on Shabbos, since the separate Takonis Kriyas HaTorah, Shabbos the afternoon to Mincha of next week's Sedra, so he thought maybe it's Manu Shal Zeh, look, it's Manu Shal Zeh, so maybe you cannot lay in Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos the afternoon. If they missed in the morning, so what you do is you give 3 aliyahs in the afternoon, you don't give 7, you give 3 aliyahs, and you start laying from, let's say you missed the Bishalach in the morning, there's a snowstorm in the morning of Bishalach, and then you're coming together Shabbos afternoon to lay in Parshas Yisroel. So you give the Kohen from the beginning of Bishalach to the middle of Parshas Yisroel. Then you give the Levi and the Yisroel. You can lay over Misafik, the whole thing. But you shouldn't give 7 aliyahs in the afternoon. That's what he thought. So Rav Soloveitchik mentioned that his grandfather, Rav Chaim, held that Kriyas HaTorah was a Chavis HaYochid. So he thought that if you missed Kriyas HaTorah in the morning, you're obligated to run to some shul or another in order to hear Kriyas HaTorah. And he said his other grandfather, Rebelia Perujina, his mother's father, whom he lived by most of the time, he was really raised by the other grandfather. He visited Rav Chaim, and when he was younger, he only visited Rav Chaim a few times. So he was always scared of Rav Chaim. He had such a funny face, and he was always so scary. And then when he grew older, the last year or two of Rav Chaim's life, they were together. They were together in Warsaw. But in the early years, before I think he was 15, when Rav Chaim died. So when he was younger, before his bar mitzvah, he hardly ever saw Rav Chaim. So he said on one occasion, one of the rare occasions that he was going to visit his grandfather Rav Chaim, so he said his other grandfather, Abel Yeperushin, told him, you go see the Zeder Rav Chaim, go show him the Malchamas, the Ramban Malchamas in Megillah, says Beferish, that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chayvus HaTzibur, it's not a Chayvus HaYochid. He answers a certain kasha, he answers the Balamor's kasha. In the beginning of Megillah on Dav Dalet, so the Ramban answers the Kasha by saying, even if you hold that the Mikra Megillah needs a minion, the Gemara has a machlekes amaroim, whether Kriyas HaMegillah and Purim needs a minion or not. The Ramban distinguishes, he says, so the Esker Kasha, how come it doesn't mention in the Mishnah later in Megillah? It says that you need a minion to say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu Kriyas HaTorah Duchening. It lists off all the things that you need a minion for, and it doesn't say Mikra Megillah. It's a Maseches Megillah. So doesn't isn't it a conclusive proof? So Beferi should write that Mikra Megillah does not need a minyan. So how could it be a Machloikis Amoraim? So some Rishonim say the whole Machloikis Amoraim, where they need a minyan for Mikra Megillah, is a Machloikis on the level of the Lachatchila. Nobody holds that it's ma'akev. The Mishnah later is listing off which things need a minyan li'kuva, that you just cannot have duchening at all. You cannot have kriyas ha'torah or chazaras ha'shatz without a minyan, period. You can have the Amarayim argued is that kedai l'chatchila to gather together a minyan. So the Ramban holds no. The Ramban holds the machlokes Amarayim is li'kuva. Can you be yotzei mikra Megillah without a minyan? How come the Mishnah doesn't mention it? So he says, no, the Mishnah is mentioning those things that are chobas ha'tzibur. There is no chobas ha'yochet to duchen. If you have a tzibur, then there's a chobas ha'tzibur to arrange duchening, to have a dvarm shebeglusha, to have kriyas ha'torah, and so on. That's a chobas ha'tzibur. Mikra Megillah is a chobas ha'yochet, and one opinion in the Gemara is that chobas ha'yochet can only be fulfilled with tzibur. It's not the same as the Mishnah. So Ramban says beferish that's a chobas ha'yochet. Kriyas HaTorah is a Chavis HaTzibah, not a Chavis HaYochid. Rav Soloveitchik related that when he went to his Zeder Rav Chaim and he showed him what the other Zeder said, so Rav Chaim reinterpreted it, he reinterpreted the Ramban, and it came out that it was not only not a kasha against him, it was a riot to him. I don't know how that's physically possible. The Ramban is beferish, that's a Chavis HaTzibah. So when he came back and he told the other Zeder, so he said, I can't believe it, with his brisky ivri, he turned everything over upside down. I don't know how he did it. You take a look in the Ramban. I don't know. There's no other way to read the Ramban. Ramban is beferish that kriyas ha'torah is a chayvus hatzibah. But that's where Rav Chaim was medaktik. He insisted that it should be treated like a chayvus hayochid. That whoever missed kriyas ha'torah should try to chap in another shul. Rashi quotes the Medrash kiyod al kase ko. How come it doesn't say kisei? How come it says ko? How come it doesn't say yud kei vav kei? They quote the Medrash that kol zman shamolek ba'olam, as long as the tov avo is still around, means that the Baruch Shalom didn't complete the bria. Ein Hashem shomem, ein akisei shomem. We can't refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as yud kei vav kei. He's only ko. We can't refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as having a kisei. Kisei means the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Malchus means that Baruch Shalom is in full control of everything that's going on in the world. Because man, that you have evil in the world, it doesn't look. The appearance is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is not in full control. If we believe, we have a big problem of evil. If we believe that there's only one God, so how come you have a tzaddik v'ra'alo rasha v'tovo? So it looks as if the two beings have control of what's happening in the world. That there's one being who gives you all these moral, ethical, and religious principles that you're supposed to lead your life by. Then someone else is running the world. But if it's one God, how can it be? So if the Ribbono Shel Olam wouldn't know what's happening all the time, so that's a teretz, he doesn't know what's happening, but we assume he does know. So if he wouldn't have control, if he wouldn't have the ability to intervene, so that's a teretz. But we believe he does have the ability to intervene. If you put together all the Kori Hamunah, we believe there's only one God, then Ribbono Shel Olam knows everything that's happening, one by one, all the Kori Hamunah. So it's a stira. Put everything together, it's a stira. How can it be that... There's only one God and knows everything that's happened, has the ability to intervene. And he's a good God. Everything, call my daughter Rahman al-Taba, everything that he does is Taba. So how can it be that there's so much evil in the world? So it looks as if he's not in control. That's why we say, Ein Akisei Shalom. The throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incomplete. The Tzlach is a sefer written by the Nodi Behuda on the Gemara, his Chidusha Torah on the Gemara. So it has on Brachas, on the Gila. In the end of Brachas, on the last parak of Brachas, he has a comment that the city, the name of the city, Yerushalayim, appears in Tanakh over 650 times. And it's always spelled Choser, Lamed Mem in the end. Yerushalayim. It's always spelled Choser. Except for three places where it's spelled Mole. So why is that Yerushalayim is spelled Choser? That's Lamaisa. That's how they write in Iksubah. One of my daughters got married in Yerushalayim, so that's how they write in Iksubah. And that's when they give a get in Yerushalayim, they spell it Choser. That's the meaning for many centuries. They write Yerushalayim Chaser. Why do they write Yerushalayim Chaser? Because in 665 times it's spelled Chaser in Tanakh. Only three times it's spelled Molay. Why is that Taka? So the Tzlach says because Yerushalayim is officially the capital of Eretz Yisrael, Al Pidin. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is officially the Melech over Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Zohar comments on the Pasuk in Koheles. Ashrei Cheret and Malkech Ben Chorin, it's the praises of Eretz Yisrael, the praises of that land, namely Eretz Yisrael. Shemalkeh ben Chorin, that the king of Eretz Yisrael is the Ribbono Shel Olam who gives mankind, who gives freedom to mankind, gives people the ability to free themselves, from the Yetzer Hara by giving us Torah. The Gemara says in Kiddushin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi la Torah Tavlin. So the Mesilas Hasharim writes, if the one who created this sickness tells us that the medication, that the drug that you should take in order to cure yourself from the sickness is Torah, he says, Barasi Yetzahar, I'm the one who created the Yetzahar, the Rebbe Shalom created. And he says, the only way, the only Tavlin that's going to work is Barasi Torah Tavlin. So that's the only Tavlin. So the... the Rebbe Shalom is the one who gives us the ability to gain freedom. Ashrecheret, that's what it says. Ashrecheret Shemalkech Ben Chorin. The Rebbe Shalom is the king over Eretz Yisrael, the one who gives freedom to mankind. He gives us the ability to free ourselves from our Yetzirah. Otherwise, people are imprisoned within their own selves. Sometimes a person is imprisoned, he's a slave to his master. But even when he's not a slave to his master, he's a slave to his Yetzirah. He doesn't have control over himself. So he's right and not a Ben Chorin. The only way to become a Ben Chorin is by learning Torah. The Rebbe Shalom gave us the Torah. He told us this secret, Barasi Yetzirah, that we know, Barasi Yetzirah. Barasi the Torah Tavlin, that's the Chiddush. He gave us an antidote to this sickness. So the official capital of Eretz Yisrael, Al Pi Din, is Yerushalayim. The official Melech of Eretz Yisrael is the Rebbe Shalom. But Ein Akisei Shalom. And that's why the pasuk in Yirmiyah, in the beginning of Yirmiyah, Perek Beis, Perek Gimel, or something, it refers to Yerushalayim as Kisei Hashem, the throne of the Rebbeinu Shalom. Why? Because the Rebbeinu Shalom is officially the Melech over Eretz Yisrael, and Yerushalayim is officially the capital, the Iram Lucha. So that's why Yerushalayim is referred to as Kisei Hashem. But Kozma that Amalek Ba'olam, so we refer to it as Kase Ko. So that's why we spell Yerushalayim Chaser to indicate this. Ena Kisei Shalom, Kozma Ansha Amalek Ba'olam. The three psukim in Tanakh where Yerushalayim is spelled Malay, so I think one or two of them are speaking about Losid Lovoy. So that's what the Tzlach says. Losid Lovoy is going to be Akisei Shalom. So then it's going to be Yerushalayim, will be Shalom. But Kozman that Amalek is Boilam, Kozman that we still have this problem of evil, so then we can't really refer to Yerushalayim as the Kisei Hashem. It's a case code, it's incomplete.
Is the work only against physical descent from Amalek or against the whole ideology?
That's a major question. The Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim points out, why does the Chumash give us the genealogy of Esau? For the Jewish people, we want to know. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov know that we, all the descendants from the Yud Beis Shvatim, refer back to the Ovis, the Ovis of Bnei Israel, the founders of our religion, the founding fathers were the three Ovis. And we have Schus Ovis and so on. But why does the Torah give the genealogy of Amalek? So the Rambam writes in one place in the Moreh Nevuchim that it's relevant halacha lemaisa because it says one of them was Amalek, was a descendant from Esav. So he says the mitzvah mechias Amalek only applies to those who were biological descendants from Amalek. So therefore, it's important to know who Amalek is, genealogy of Amalek, to know which nation is the din applicable to mechias Amalek. Rav Soloveitchik had a whole chiddush in the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim, based on the Rambam in Hilchus Malachim again. That the Rambam, I remember this, the Rav said this, halacha l'maisa. I remember I was a little boy, and my family lived in Philadelphia at the time. And there was no yeshiva, so my parents had me stay in New York by my grandparents to go to yeshiva ketana before my bar mitzvah. So I didn't like, my grandparents always spoke Yiddish and my grandmother always cooked this tzimis, the cooked carrots, which I never liked with the plums inside. So I never enjoyed her food. I enjoyed my mother's food. So I was always, and she always spoke Yiddish. She didn't speak English, so I was always complaining I was unhappy. But I liked it in the yeshiva, but I was unhappy by my grandparents. So I was always homesick. I always wanted to go home. So my father had to come every couple of weeks to bring me back to Philadelphia. So I remember on one occasion he was going to take me back home to Philadelphia to spend Shabbos with my parents and my sister. So the Rav was speaking that night. Rav Soloveitchik was going to speak. So if he would go first to hear Rav Soloveitchik speak and then pick me up, it would already be doomsday. And there weren't any buses going at 1 o'clock at night. So he took me as a little boy. He picked me up by my grandparents, took me to hear Rav Soloveitchik. And then he took me, then we went to Port Authority to go take a bus to get back to Philadelphia. So I remember that time, Rav Soloveitchik spoke about that Germany offered reparations money to Medinas Yisrael. So it was a big machlokes in the Knesset whether they should accept the money or not. So they were debating whether it's ethical or not. Is it right? The Germans felt guilty why they killed all the Jews. So they felt they wanted to get a kapara. that if they give the money to Eretz Yisrael, at least they'll feel less guilty. They won't feel so guilty. So that was a big debate in the Knesset. Is that ethical? Is that proper? What do you mean? We have a right to take money, and it's going to be forgiven. The Aveira of killing so many millions and millions and millions of people, millions of Jews and millions of people in general. How can it be? This can never be atoned for. So that was a big debate whether it's ethical or not. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it wasn't right to take the money. But then he added on, he thinks al pidin, it's not permissible. So he thought that even if you're just taking back, the Germans took millions of dollars from the Jews, because cash, when they killed all the Jews, so they took all the money from the bank accounts that they had, they took all the possessions that they had. So he thought that you're not allowed to take anything from Amalek. That's a big machlekes in the Rishonim. When in Sefer Shmuel, when it says that Shmuel HaNavi instructed Shaul HaMelech that he has to, the Haftarah for Parshat Zohar, that he has to kill the animals as well, was that a Hayru HaShoah or was that a Din L'Doros? So that seems to be a Machlokes HaTanoim in the Mechilta, and a Machlokes HaRishonim, which way to assume. So Rav Soloveitchik was assuming that that was a Din L'Doros. He didn't go into, that was a long time ago. I don't remember that he went into this discussion. He assumed that it's a Din L'Doros, that you're not allowed to take anything from Amalek. So he added a chiddush, not only not allowed to take anything that belongs to Amalek, even if Amalek stole it from the Jews. The Germans stole millions of dollars from the, billions of dollars from the Jews. He says you're not allowed to take back the money from them. Once they took it, it's Amalek's money, you're not allowed to take it back. So he said he has a tradition from Rab Chaim, he heard from his, I think he said he heard it from his father, not from Rab Chaim. This is not Rab Chaim. He heard from his father that the Nazis had a din of Amalek based on the Rambam. That the Rambam there in Hilchos Malachim, when he writes that there's a Melchemes Mitzvah to wage war against Amalek, and a Melchemes Mitzvah, Achrim Tachrimim, to wipe out the Zaynumis. So the Rambam, when he writes about the Zaynumis, writes, Kvar Rabat Zichron, that they don't exist anymore. There's no longer a mitzvah to wipe out Zaynumis. Why not? Because we assume Bosan Cheruv, a Bilbil is called Oilam Kuloi. That's a Mishnah. The Gemara Brachas quotes that Mishnah. The Mishnah said, where's the Mishnah? Natives? Full Yom. Oh boy. So the Mishnah says that a Ger Amoni came in front of the Tanoim and he asked, Ma ani lova bekoha, am I allowed to marry a Jewish girl? He was an Amoni. So one Tana says, no, you're not allowed to. It's a pasuk in Chumash.
Yeah,
Yodayim. Okay. Perik.
Dalit, Mishnah, Dalit.
Okay. So the Mishnah tells the story that a Ger Amoni came in front of the Tanoim. He wanted to know, is he allowed to marry a Jewish girl? So here for the Tanoim said, not allowed to, because he's a Ger Amoni. Liyav Amoni b'kal Hashem. And the other Tanaim, whose opinion is accepted, they said no. Kvakupos and Cheriv, the Bilbil is called Olam Kudai, and there's no longer a din of Amun Amoyav. So the Raman quotes the same thing as true regarding the Zaynumis. He writes a Kvar Rabat Zichrom. So the Sefer Achinuch, when he writes about Amalek that we have in Chumash Dvarim, in Kiseitzim, when he writes about Amalek, so he says the din of wiping out Amalek no longer applies Kvar Rabat Zichrom, because Bos and Cheriv, the Bilbil is called Olam Kudai. So the later Achrayim say, the Chemdas Yisrael by the Kli Chemda, Rav Meir Don, he quotes Achanim and says, how can that be? But the Sefer Achinuch says, how can it be? A bos and chera, bilbil is kolam kula. So there's no more Amalek. So how come ein Hashem shalom, ein Akisa shalom, ad shimoch ezara shalom Amalek? So Amalek doesn't exist anymore. So goodbye. So there's no more Amalek. So why don't we pronounce Yudke Vavke? The Gemara says, Lasi Lava will pronounce Yudke Vavke because Amalek will be wiped out. That's the Gemara Pesachim on Daf Mentesa, something Daf Nun. If Amalek is gone, so there's no more Amalek, so wonderful. So everything is marvelous. So it would appear that Melchemes Amalek didn't take place yet. We're going to have to still take care of Melchemes Amalek in the future. Obviously, we don't assume that Bos and Cheva Bilbil is called Olam Kulay. So, but Lemaise, it is true. Bos and Cheva Bilbil is called Olam Kulay. So he said from his father, Rav Soloveitchik, said the name Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and then he later published it in the Chamesh Droshot, which were originally written in Yiddish. He wrote it in Yiddish, and then they translated it into Hebrew. So he writes there the name of his father, that the Ramam, he thinks the Ramam holds that the din of Amalek is not restricted only to those who are direct descendants, genealogical descendants, biological descendants of the original Amalekim. Any nation that adopts as its policy that they want to wipe out the Jewish people has the din of Amalek. That's a shaila. So some quote this in the name of Rav Chaim also. Rav Yudel Gershuni has the same. Rav Yudel Gershuni used to be a very big Talmid Chacham. He died quite a few years ago. He was the son-in-law of Rav Lezer Silva. Lezer Silva was the president of the Agudas Rabbanim for a while. So Rab Yudel Gershuni used to sign off Chast on the Bein Asiyah. That was also a parsha. So Rabbi Gershuni published a sefer on the Rambam called Mishpat HaMelucha, just on the Rambam Hilchas Melachim. Very lomdish, the sefer. All of his farma, all of his divrei Torah, very, very lomdish. He learned by Rab Shimon in Europe. He was one of the outstanding talmidim of Rab Shimon Shkop. So he quotes this in the name Rab Chaim, what Rab Soloveitchik said in the name of his father. Rabbi Soloveitchik quotes the name Rab Chaim. But he adds on that in the yeshivas, their version was, it has to be if you have a nation who are atheistic, if they don't believe in God, and they adopt as the policy that they want to wipe out the Jewish people. Let's say you have Muslims who worship Islam religion. So they do worship God, they do believe in God, and they hold that part of their religion is to wipe out the Jewish people. So then, according to the version that's usually popularly said over, the Rav Gershuni records, Rav Chaim would not say over here that they would have the status of Amalek. Rav Soloveitchik, when he said Robert, didn't say over that part, that it has to be Lo Yare Elokim. He just said any nation that adopts as its policy to wipe out the Jewish people has the status of Amalek, and the din applies. But that's why he thought that the Nazis had the din of Amalek. So therefore, you're not allowed to even take back the reparations money. They're just giving back the money that they stole from the Jews. They're giving back a percent of the money. They're not even giving back all the money. So he thought that they're not allowed to take the money. In the recent issue of the Commentator, there was an interview with one of the young men who was Mekurif to Rav Soloveitchik. So he said that many, many years later, Rav Soloveitchik thinks that he made a mistake. He thinks that he made a mistake about that because history has indicated that his psak was wrong. He said Medinas Yisrael used all of that reparations money in order to develop the economy and so on, and if without that reparation money things wouldn't have developed, so he thought that history has indicated that his psak was wrong, that they were allowed to take the money. I don't know, but I think people told me that all the reparations money was used to pave the highways, and all those highways were done wrong. So I think around 20 years ago they had to rip up all the highways and do it over again. So it could be that the history did not indicate that Rav Soloveitchik was wrong. Got to check into that to find out. Okay. Rav Beryl Soloveitchik was very upset about this thing that Rav Soloveitchik said. So he said, you're not allowed to even think so. You're not allowed to say such a thing. You're not allowed to print such a thing. You're not allowed to think such a thing. It's so ridiculous to say that any nation other than those who are biological descendants of Amalek should have the din of Amalek. It's utterly ridiculous. So the one who wrote this up in the name of Rav Beryl Soloveitchik from Yerushalayim wrote in parentheses this more in the Vuchim. Rav Beryl didn't mention it. So the Talmud who wrote it up wrote that the Moran Nebuchim seems to say like that. So someone else wrote in another Torah journal, referring to what it was printed in this Torah journal, what do you mean it's ridiculous? Rab Chaim Oizen said like this, that someone published a whole sefer about things that he heard from Rav Gustman. Rav Gustman was, as a very young man, as a teenager, was on the Bezin in Vilna together at the age of 17, I think. He was on the Bezin with Rab Chaim Oizen in Vilna. And then he had to run away from the Nazis. In the middle of the war, Rav Chaim Oizen died. And Rav Gustman had to run away from the Nazis. And how he survived, the whole parsha. So he used to have a yeshiva in Brooklyn, Rav Gustman. Then later on, he moved to Eretz Yisrael and continued the yeshiva. He passed away many years ago. So one of the Talmidim wrote over different vertlach, different things that he heard from him. So one of them was that Rav Gustman once asked Rav Chaim Oizen, what does he think about the Nazis in the middle of the war? So Rav Chaim Oizen said that he tends to agree with the other Gedolim in the generation that the Nazis have the din of Amalek. So it seems that this was a common opinion. It's not that Rav Soloveitchik is one who came from thin air, who invented this idea. That's what he quotes. That Rav Gustman said, the name Rav Chaim Oizen, he would tend to agree with the other Gedolim that they should have the status of Amalek.
Even if the money was used for good,
why should that change the tzar? Rav Soloveitchik thought that, like before the Hakomas HaMedina, there was a big machlokes. So Agud had people lobbying in Washington that the American government should not recognize Medina Israel. They were opposed to establishing the Medina for various reasons, whatever. Historical reasons, halachic reasons. And And the Mizrahi was for. The Mizrahi wanted that they should establish the Medina. So the Maizan Medina was established, and it was flourishing for many years. So Soloveitchik thought that history has indicated, he said, sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Poisek. And big historical issues, yeah, Shaila of Tzitzis and Tfilin. So we'll never know what the correct psak is. So when the Rabbonim say the psak, so we follow them, assuming that they gave the correct psak. But on major issues that are relevant to the whole Klal Yisrael, so he thought, based on the Gemara and Yuma, first parak in the Gemara Yuma, they talk about history indicating issues of Hashkofa. So Leitchik thought that history has indicated that the Ribbono Shel Olam paskin, that the Hakamas Hamdina was the right thing to do. And he thought on this occasion, history indicated that his psak was incorrect, because this was a neged to all of Klal Yisrael. And he says, it turned out l'toiva, that they took the reparations money, that it was so crucial and necessary for the development of the economy in Eretz Yisrael. So he thought that history has indicated that he was wrong. The Gemara has such a concept, history indicated. People didn't know that Gemara, so they had tightness against Rav Soloveitchik. What do you mean history has indicated? So often in Gemara. The Gemara talks about history indicating things that are negated to all of Klal Yisrael.
Also, you should know store by door.
Mm-hmm. We should learn from history, yeah. We should learn from the past how to act in the future. That is correct. The Chazal say whatever it says, Vayhi b'shalach parasam. So the Medrash says, Vayhi is a Lashon Tzara. And when it says, V'hoya, that's a Lashon Simcha. Vayhi b'me'ach ha'shveirosh. So the Medrash says over there, Vayhi b'shalach parasam. So whenever it says Vayhi, it's a Lashon Tzara. Whenever it says V'hoya, it's a Lashon Simcha. Why is one a Lashon Simcha? Why is one a Lashon Tzara? So they quote the name of the Vilna Gaon, this Biur, that the word Yehi is future, and the Vav HaMahapeches takes the future and makes it into the past. And V'hoya, Hoya is Lashon Avar, and the Vav HaMahapeches changes it into the future. So if you take the past and you learn from the past and you project it into the future, that's a Lashon Simcha. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to learn from the past. You're supposed to learn from the mistakes. If you're looking into the future, what's going to be in the future, and based on that, we're going to know how to act now. There may be another 100 years till you're going to get to that. How do you know? We're holding by Mashiach already, so we should start bringing karbonos. What do you mean? You can't take the future and project it into the past. We don't know yet how close we are to the future. But to take the past and project it into the future, that's a Lashon Simcha. That's not a Lashon Tzar. That's what they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon. Yeah, Binu Shnos Dor V'Dor. We're supposed to learn from history. History is run by the Ribbono Shel Olam. He guides the history. So we're supposed to learn from his guidance. How we're supposed to act. Thank you. Okay.
I'll be right back.